to you by Puffin.
Doctor Who, 15 Doctors, 15 Stories, by Owen Colfer, Michael Scott, Marcus Sedgwick, Philip Reeve, Patrick Ness, Rochelle Mead, Mallory Blackman, Alex Scarrow, Charlie Higson, Derek Landy, Neil Gaiman, Holly Black, Naomi Alderman, Steve Cole, and Farida Abike Iyemide. Read by Nicholas Briggs, Fraser Hines, Marcus Sedgwick, Sophie Aldred, Nicholas Pegg, Mallory Blackman, Charlie Higson, Ian Hanmore, Peter Kenny, Samuel Anderson, Jacob Dudman, and Aisha Antoine.
A Big Hand for the Doctor, by Owen Colfer, read by Nicholas Briggs. 1. The Strand, London, 1900. The Doctor was not happy with his new bio-hybrid hand.
"Preposterous! It's not even a proper hand," he complained to Aldridge. "There are only two fingers, which is rather fewer than the traditional humanoid quota."
Aldridge was not one to put up with any guff, even from a Time Lord.
"Give it back, then. No one's forcing you to take it."
The Doctor scowled. He knew Aldridge's bartering style, and at this point the Zing surgeon usually threw out a red herring to distract the customer. "Would you like to know why I closed my practice on Gallifrey?" Aldridge asked. Red herring delivered as expected. Every time he turned to Aldridge for help, this story was trotted out.
"Was it our title, perhaps?"
the doctor inquired innocently.
"Exactly," said Aldridge. "Call yourselves Time Lords? How pompous is that? Someone previously registered temporal emperors, had they? A pity. You could have shortened it to Temperers."
"Temperers," thought the Doctor. "That's almost amusing." Amusing because a Time Lord known as the Interior Designer had once famously suggested that exact title at a conference, and been nicknamed Bad Temperer for the rest of his quantum days. But the Doctor could not allow even a glimmer of a nostalgic smile to show on his lips. Firstly, because smiles tended to look like a death rictus on his long face, and secondly, because Aldridge would exploit the moment to drive up his price.
"Five fingers, Aldridge," he insisted. "I need an entire hand just to do up my shirt in the mornings. Humans put buttons in the most awkward places, even when they are quite aware that Velcro exists."
He checked his pocket watch.
"Or rather, will exist in half a century or so."
Aldridge pinged one of the curved ceramic digits with a scalpel.
"The exoskeleton has two fingers, I will grant you that, Doctor, but the glove has five, including the thumb, all controlled by signals from the exoskeleton. A blooming bio-hybrid miracle."
The Doctor was impressed, but would not allow himself to show it.
"I'd rather have a bio-bio-miracle, if it's all the same to you. And I am in a dreadful hurry."
"Come back in 5 days," said Aldridge. "Your flesh-and-bone hand will be ready by then. All I need is a sample." He thrust a specimen jar under the Doctor's nose.
"Spit, if you don't mind."
The Doctor obliged, feeling more than a little relieved that spittle was all Aldridge needed from him. Some time ago, after the whole inscrutable doppelganger fiasco, he had been forced to part with 2 litres of very rare TL-positive blood from which to work up plasma.
5 days? You couldn't get the job done with a little more urgency, could you?"
Aldridge shrugged.
"Sorry, I have a cluster of amphibymen in the back, all hissing for their tail extensions. It's setting me back a fortune to hire a fire truck to keep them lubricated."
The Doctor stared Aldridge down until the portly Zing surgeon relented.
"Very well. 2 days. But it's going to cost you."
"Ah, yes," thought the Doctor, preparing himself for bad news.
"How much exactly is it going to cost me?"
Although how much was perhaps the wrong...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?